views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The Millionaire Imprint for Women. This empowering radio show is about imprinting wealth for women, inspiring women of all ages to heal their karmic debts, to transcend the shame of poverty consciousness that women have lived with for centuries. It's time for women, for you to have a new relationship with money, to be smart with your money, to invest, to save, and to watch your money grow as you build your new empire, leaving legacies that you're proud of. Join Marty, Michelle, and Cornelia Fridays from 1 to 2 on The Cornelia Stephanie Show at Transformation Talk Radio. Are you in?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, The Millionaire Imprint for Women. Have I got an exciting show for us today? The legacy we leave with Chris Martin. Everyone leaves a legacy, their imprint on their family and their community. We help you leave the legacy that matters to you. Peace of mind comes from knowing that your voice will be heard when it matters most. As an estate planner, my special guest today, Chris Martin, grants a voice to his clients and peace of mind to their families during the most difficult events in their lives. And the key word here is legacy. When I created the Millionaire Imprint for Women, I talked about building and leaving legacies that we're proud of. Once we heal our relationship with money, which happened in season one, and if anyone wants to get a PDF from season one that has all the podcasts listed, where all of the transformational leaders that I brought on brought their gifts to share how we can really heal our relationship with money, that is available to you. And then also season two is on a PDF as well. And I felt it was so perfect today to invite Chris Martin to the show so that he can talk to us about legacy. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me, Cornelia. It's great to be here.
It's so awesome that you're here. But first, I mean, when I was looking at your bio, I said, what a decorated man you are. You've got incredible certificates and learning and education that you have achieved over your lifetime. And now this is your business. So I want to read your bio, and I want to tell people how qualified you are to talk about this subject today, because we're going to talk about estate planning. We're going to talk about what it is. We're going to answer a lot of different questions. So I want to just really talk about your qualification. You are a seasoned attorney experienced in helping individuals, families, and small business owners with their estate and gift and planning needs. Chris works closely with his clients to create and implement plans for intergenerational transfers of wealth through both lifetime gifting and postmortem wealth transfers. Chris regularly speaks to both public and private organizations and has contributed to numerous publications, including articles for the National Business Institute and the Business Monthly. Chris formerly worked for a boutique estate planning firm in Maryland, overseeing a variety of estate planning and probate matters, and managed a solo estate planning practice. Chris also had the pleasure of serving as a law clerk for the Honorable Sheila R. Tillerson, Chief Administrative Judge for the Seventh Circuit of Maryland. You earned your degree from Harvard Law University School, and your an undergraduate degree from St. Louis University, from which you graduated, and you were on the dean's list. And you've got quite the profile. It's amazing to have you on the show today, and you are well aware of estate planning. And tell us about what it is.
Well, thank you. I should make clear, because sometimes the name can be mixed up. I graduated from Howard Law.
Howard Law.
But people oftentimes hear Howard, and then I think Harvard, or I think Harvard, and they hear Howard. So just to be clear.
That's true. That is what I thought. So thanks for clarifying that. Howard Law, it's just as prestigious.
Well, I like to think so. It's a good institution based here in D.C. And so, but just to answer your question, what is estate planning?
Yeah.
Essentially, estate planning is the format of the map that we lay out to leave instructions as to what our legacy is going to be for our loved one and what we want our wishes to be and what they are in times when we can't speak for ourselves. Now, that entails both at the time when you pass away, which is what people traditionally think about, they think of a will. But it also affects if you don't pass away, but something happens to you. If you end up in a coma, you end up seriously injured. That's when we put in documents in place to say, what are your medical wishes? What are your financial wishes? Who should act on your behalf? So in a nutshell, estate planning is the map that lays out what should happen if you can't speak for yourself.
Yeah. And it's really important to, I mean, nowadays we want to bring light to the fact that we don't have to wait until we're, you know, 75 years old or 80 years old before we make choices and decisions like this. It's important to kind of to think about this beforehand, like even people in their 40s or 50s to start early, just like it's important for us to save money early and educate and empower ourselves. Wouldn't you say so, Chris?
That's absolutely right, Cornelia. I mean, in fact, if you wait until you're a senior citizen, it might be a little bit too late to do some of these things, because here's the problem we run into. All of these documents can only be created if you have the ability or capacity mentally to do so. If you wait until someone has dementia or someone has some other type of issue such as Alzheimer's, it may be determined that it's too late for them to speak for themselves, and then their voice is lost. Really, ideally, there are several kind of points in life that prompt creation of an estate plan. Most of my clients, to be honest with you, that come to me are usually younger clients. A lot of times they're starting new families. And so they've had children, and now they're thinking, well, what if something happens to me? How do I make sure my children are cared for? Or maybe they've had a significant change in circumstance. Perhaps sometimes they're coming into a second marriage. And so now they have their conversations on blended families. So there are a variety of different things that may motivate someone to put together a plan earlier than what I think is traditionally thought. And that is the more appropriate approach, to be honest. If you're shaping a legacy, as we're discussing today, that's something that takes time. If you don't act earlier, then what you're doing is you're allowing circumstances to kind of shape and build the legacy for you, as opposed to you proactively shaping circumstances to create the legacy you want.
Yeah, and I love how you talked about, you know, starting early and how we want to be sure, like, not to wait until you have dementia or till any other kind of, you know, crisis is happening in your life, but to that it takes a plan and that it takes time, and that is a really educated, smart move in how to grow and leave and build your legacy. And you said that your clients come to you, they're generally in their 40s or 50s, they start early. Right.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I do have some clients in their 30s sometimes, if they're young families. Mm-hmm. But 40s or 50s is about right where we'll find folks who will come in, and they're either making an estate plan for the first time, or they're coming to update something that they've created. But typically, that's about the average age range where you'll find someone.
So how often should they update an estate plan? How often, once they get the process going, they started the initial process, how often should they update it?
I think typically you should look at it every 4 to 5 years. That doesn't mean you need to update every 4 to 5 years, but you need to at least take a look to see what's going on with the situation in your life. Oftentimes what I will do is I'll invite a client to come in at that point in time, just so we can take a look. And the reason why, if you think about where people are at different stages in their lives, how much can change in a 5-year period, a 4-year period. So often clients will sit down and they'll say, well, we created a will 20 years ago. Our kids were young then, now they're adults. And so how we wanted money left to them at that point in time, or how we wanted assets to be handled, no longer applies. And sometimes it may be even more than that, that things that are referenced may not even exist, or people who are referenced may have passed away, or perhaps there's been a falling out between folks who they once, at one point in time, might have had to act on their behalf. So every 4 to 5 years is a good opportunity just to at least review it. And then after you know what's going on in your life in comparison to the plan, you can make a decision as to whether or not it's time to update.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I certainly have, you know, with the coaching work that I do, and have had experiences with people who had to deal with losses and different things that they didn't have protected or that they haven't talked about, right, with someone, and haven't updated. And then all of a sudden a crisis occurs, or there's arguments and fights between the siblings and different things like that. So it's really important to keep that updated. Now, when they initially come to you, how does it work? How long does it take to begin the initial consultation, or to begin the process? How long does that take?
So the process is relatively quick in its initial stages. In fact, I'll just give you a layout as to how the process typically works with a client.
Sure.
They reach out to me. We have a conversation either by phone or email, depending upon how they've contacted me. What I will do is I'll send to them a questionnaire, a short document, about 4 pages total. 1 page is an intake form. So it's, what's your name? Where do you live? Who's your spouse, if you have a spouse? Just basic information in that way. And the purpose of that is just to give me a very simple snapshot of a few kind of key questions about their assets. And we'll set up a consultation to sit down and review that document. In that consultation, which usually lasts about an hour, we'll talk about not only that document, we'll use that as our foundation or our beginning, but we'll build from there to talk about what are their goals? What are they trying to do? And what do they want to leave as a proper legacy for them, for their family or community? Sometimes I have clients who don't necessarily have children or relatives they want to leave it to, but they want to contribute effectively to the community. After that process is done, at the end of that time, we come up with a plan based on that discussion. And then we begin the creation of documents to implement that plan. It usually takes about 2 weeks to a month to get the drafts out to them, depending upon the complexity. Once they have those documents, they review them. I will follow up with them. And once we've made any adjustments or changes that need to be there, we sit down and we sign the documents. So after that initial creation, that falls into the kind of the client's court as to when that process is completed. I've had some clients complete it as quickly as a month. I've had other clients that have literally taken years to complete just because they get so busy. But periodically, I don't like to pester them, but periodically I'll remind them, follow up. And usually, ideally, if I find they're having a hard time reviewing, we'll just come in and sit down together in my office. We'll walk through it step by step and make any change that we need to at that time. So that way they can include it and move forward.
I love that. It sounds like people, when they come and they hire you, that it's really about also building a relationship with you, because you're nurturing them and supporting them through the process of the changes that need to be made, or, you know, updates that need to be made. And so it's like building a relationship with someone that they can trust. We're going to talk more a little bit later about, you know, how to choose the right person. But initially, it sounds like they can trust you, and that they're there with you as you are helping them through the process, and also moving at their own pace, while at the same time checking in on them and making sure that you're keeping them, you know, flowing in, making sure that their legacy is set up and bulletproof, right?
Well, Cornelia, I'll tell you, that is the most important thing for me with my clients.
Yeah.
Everybody knows a good or bad joke, for that matter, about a lawyer. And oftentimes about why they do or don't trust them. But the reality is, in estate planning especially, because it's such an intimate aspect of someone's life, and then we're dealing with the most important things in their lives. And so it is crucial that we build a relationship where they trust me and they understand. And know, most importantly, that this is not like buying a toaster. This is a process.
Right.
Work through it together. We're going to go through it together. And then over time, we're going to make adjustments as needed. And we're going to figure out how best to make sure that their goals and the things that they want to have in place are there for them.
Yeah, and again, imagine how that makes you feel. Like, I'm hearing you say this, and I'm hearing you say the process, and just how comfortable that makes me feel to know that I've got somebody that I can trust, that I'm working with, that's on my side, that's invested, that cares, that's nurturing, that has the qualifications, and that also, you know, keeps me on the right track. So I love that you're bringing this topic here today. We're going to take a break now on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We're going to be back with Chris Martin here right after. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We'll be right back.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
We are back and you're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and I am with Chris Martin, and we're talking today about legacy building, building legacy, and how that takes time. Why is estate planning not only for the wealthy? Chris, we want to talk about that. We were talking about that during the break, and you do have a few stories to share. So tell us why it's not only for the wealthy.
Well, I'm really glad that we have a chance to talk about this, because I think this is one of the most common misconceptions. People will come, if potential clients, individuals in the community, one of the first things they say is, well, I don't have enough money, or ask, I don't need an estate plan. Well, in the first place, it's not just for the wealthy, because it addresses more than money. As far as I know, it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or poor, you may have children and have wishes as to how their care should be handled if something happens to you. I've never met a parent who didn't have have an interest in that being taken care of. So that's one reason. But to add to that, if you have a situation where you don't feel you have a lot of wealth, but you have a little something to leave, if you leave it properly, it may actually help to build wealth in the next generation, as opposed to simply being lost or squandered. And the way that we do that is just by shaping how is it left to your heirs, your children, probably in that instance, and how is it that they receive it, and what guidance do they have or assistance do they have in making sure that it's properly utilized and invested if there's enough to invest. So for those reasons, it's not just there for the wealth.
Right, right. So estate planning doesn't necessarily, like a lot of times, you know, you think of estate, you think of like a huge estate, like a huge house. That's kind of like what people think of. So, but it's much more than that is what I heard you say. It's really about whatever it is that you have, that you find a trusted source, like we were talking about, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more, that that you lay down your legacy so that your life matters. It matters what you've created here. It matters what you've generated. It matters how you live, and that you get to be the driver to say where this is going to go and how it's going to go. But it's important that you initiate the process and begin the process. And it's not just only for the wealthy people. It's also for the middle class, right? The people,
absolutely,
the average everyday people that have a household and are, you know, building their legacy, leaving a future behind for their children and their children's children, right?
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you another benefit, and it's not just for the wealthy, is one of the things that I like to say for an attorney, strife is life, right? So if it's a litigator, someone's in conflict and they're fighting and they want to go to court about that. I'm not a litigator. I create documents. I'm what they call a transactional attorney. But my job is to help people. The reason I create those documents is to avoid strife. We want to avoid conflict and fighting. And I'll tell you, some of the worst fights I have seen in my practice have been with families who don't have a lot of money, but there's a lot of kind of tension. And sometimes that tension is left because of who steps in and happens to act or be in charge. And so it wasn't clearly stated who should handle it, or it was misstated who should handle it. Oftentimes it's the oldest child. So they'll step in and say, well, I'm the oldest, I should handle this. The problem is your younger siblings don't always feel that you're competent or credible to do that. And sometimes you're just not. I'll share with you just a brief story. A client came to me and we worked for a little bit. He was the oldest of three children. He'd been left the home for his mother, and that was really the only asset in the estate. Long story short, as we did some investigating, we learned that he had actually shifted the property into another person's name so that he could use it for his business, and had taken it from his younger brother who had special needs and his sister who was caring for that brother. And so he had taken their interest and put it somewhere else because he had some issues with his business. Now, he was the one who was put in the driver's seat. He was the oldest child, but you know your family better than anyone else. And so if there had been a discussion with an estate planning attorney, an in-depth discussion, they might have asked, how do your children get along with each other? How are they with money? How are they with following directions? Do they ever try to cut corners? And that would have avoided that strife. Again, that was not a wealthy family, but they had the same fighting and the same disagreements because it was mismanaged in that way and the plan wasn't.
Yeah. And you know what? I see that. I've seen that a lot. The fighting in between siblings. And really, when it comes down to money, we know that, you know, a lot of people, need it, want it, right? And how that then ends relationships and, you know, how it really causes a lot of stress for that. And so here's another reason why building your legacy with someone that you can trust, like yourself, Chris, that it's important to have somebody that will go over all of these things with you and ask you the right questions and make sure that you are okay with it. Because it's about empowerment, isn't it? It's to empower yourself and also empower your family. And that's also part of legacy building, isn't it? Because you're empowered when you have the knowledge or when you feel good about the choices and the decisions that you made and where it's going to go.
That is correct. What we're doing here is we're taking action. My clients are taking action such that they're shaping the circumstances going forward into the future, as opposed to letting the circumstances shape the future for them. The reality is something is going to put in place what happens in the future. You have the ability and the opportunity through a little proper planning, some time, some forethought, to dictate how that goes, or at least put as much influence as you can. If you fail to take that action, then you're subject to whatever happens, whatever circumstances come to pass. And sometimes it works out well, and sometimes it works out very badly. So I don't like the idea of leaving such things to chance, not with your most important and most vital things and relationships. And so estate planning is really about that.
Yeah, it's about honoring relationships, maintaining relationships, your own individual integrity with, mm-hmm. you know, how you've lived your life, and then with your children and your children's children, and how you're leaving this world, right? So in the break, Chris, you told me about another story. I thought that was really interesting. Do you remember what story that was? It was about somebody that it had to do with a person that was withholding the money from the client.
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah. So this was an interesting story. Client came into my office, had a conversation with me, and I really thought this was the beginning of a bad joke. He said, 20 years ago, my wealthy aunt from Washington, who lives in D.C., left my brother and I oil rights in Texas, and we've not received a dime out of it. I thought, okay, we'll pull the other leg. But he was serious, and we had a conversation. I said, okay, well, let's investigate and see what we find here. We contacted the trustee. It was held in a trust over the last 20 years, and we found records that showed that the trustee was mismanaging. So this kind of touches a little bit on the discussion we'll have a little bit later about how do we pick the right agent and what are the consequences of the wrong agent? And so he'd actually been sending the money to the wrong place for 20 years and borrowing against him a variety of other very bad action, which was depleting its value and making his pockets much bigger, but not helping this family. And these were their aunt was wealthy, but they were not. Fortunately, we saw it. We sent a letter out to this gentleman, this trustee, and we had a conversation with him. It made it very clear that the other beneficiaries, because there were other people who were benefiting from this trust, and our clients needed it to be fixed. And so ultimately what we were able to do was to receive a settlement for them to get pay for the 20 years that they had been denied. And then they received the rights, those oil rights, in perpetuity for the rest of their lives. And so now they receive their regular payments. They're back on track. But it was 20 years of bad action before that, unfortunately. They had been ignored and disregarded for him by 20 years because of that.
Oh my God, I'm so glad they found you. I'm so glad they hooked up with you, because, you know, that definitely changed their story. That changed everything. And had they found you 20 years earlier, it would have been great. So, wow, what an incredible story. What about taxes, Chris? What about estate planning and taxes? Tell us about that.
So I'll tell you, estate planning and taxes, as it stands right now, and I don't want to get too technical on this, but as it stands right now with the current federal tax laws, those are less of a concern than they once were. Right now, it's for an individual, it's $11.4 million before they have to pay any estate taxes, $22.8 if you're a couple. However, your state may have estate taxes, and those vary in size. So in Maryland, for example, it's $5 million for an individual, $10 million for a couple. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But we also have very high property here. Our property values are very high. Life insurance rates may be very high, which is part of your estate as well. And so most of my clients don't have those problems anymore. So we're not worried so much about that with the average client. But those rates are set to sunset or expire in 2025. And so some of our planning is to figure out, okay, if the rates roll back and drop down all of a sudden, what do we do with our clients and how do we do that? That I will tell you, when they went up last year in 2018, that prompted a review of documents immediately for our clients to see if the plan still worked for them.
Wow, that's that's amazing to know those statistics and those tax laws and everything. Definitely is a reason why you would want to have somebody on your side that can help you with estate planning and taxes and all of these, you know, challenging decisions that we're faced with when there's a lot of money and there's the estates, right? So I want to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back with Chris Martin.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
We had a fabulous discussion during the break, and Chris was reminding me of there's a little bit more that he wants to talk about as far as taxes and estate planning, and didn't want to really get into that much detail about it. But what were the points that you brought to me during break, Chris?
Well, I just want to make it clear that there are taxes other than estate tax, right? So that tax is a very, very high threshold, and so it really only affects, for the most part, the wealthy. But there are also things, what's called a capital gains tax. So if properties, as they grow in value, there may be taxes assessed, or in some states have what's called an inheritance tax. And that's not based on, that's based on a relationship to the person that you're leaving it to, not the value of your estate or anything like that. So I wish I could tell you that estates, that taxes are out of the door, but they're just not. But they can still be planned for.
Good. I'm glad that you cleared that up and let us know this last bit of information there. And then I also asked you, what do you think, Chris, is it that stops people from contacting you and picking up the phone, or any person, any lawyer, or to make that call and do some estate planning? What is the elephant in the room? And you said?
It was death. I mean, people are not comfortable talking about the idea of them passing away or dying. They don't like thinking about it. They don't like talking about it. And I understand that. I'm not necessarily an overly big fan about thinking about my own death, right? I mean, but it's not really estate planning. And the way that I try to help my clients is to kind of change their perspective. While it's true, death is a part of it. Like, it's a part of life. That's not really the whole point of the conversation. The point is, if you, for any reason, cannot speak for yourself, something happens to you at any time, even temporarily, who would you trust to step in and help you? And if you have young children, who would you trust to care for them? Again, this could be a short period of time. I've had friends, I've had relatives who have been injured or had something happen, a car accident, and for a short period of time, they found themselves incapacitated. And then we have to figure out, what do we do? Who should take action for them? And so I think that's the big issue, is that people are not comfortable with the idea of death. And I get that. So we focus instead on the things they are comfortable with, their loved ones, their families, the things they'd like to see come to pass in the future, and the things they'd like to see come to pass in the present.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Focusing on the foundation that they have, what they have, instead of the loss, instead of what's actually happening. And I mean, you know, it's always traumatic when all of a sudden something happens and we lose a loved one, but we all need to take a look at our foundation and face that at some point. And if we can face it with the way that you said, with joy and looking at what you've built and where you are, and even if there's pain there, it's still perfect to hire somebody like Chris to be able to then help you make peace with the past and really set all those places in stone, so that when it happens, that it goes to the right place and that you can make peace with that and at least have that in your heart. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I'll tell you something that's kind of ironic. So on the one hand, we have this concern about talking about death, right? People don't want to do that a lot of times. They're not necessarily comfortable. At the same time, another issue that I find that keeps people from either contacting me or, once we start the process, kind of moving forward, is that folks who accept that someday they'll pass away believe it's not going to happen anytime soon, or I'm not going to have any issues anytime soon. And so there's no sense of urgency. And that's fine to a certain extent. I don't want someone to walk around panicking, feeling like it's doomsday. But I do think it's important and healthy just to look at it and say, you know, in the event that something should happen, what should I do? And that's why we have life insurance. That's why we have auto insurance, is in the event something will happen, I'd like to have this in place. The difference is that, you may have auto insurance your whole life and never have an auto accident, which is a wonderful experience if that happens. At some point in time, this plan will come into play and be useful. That's simply the reality of what it is and what it does. And that's why it's important.
Yeah, it reminds me of a story. When was it? About, I don't know, 10 years or 12 years or so ago, I paid for my cremation service and got everything all taken care of. And when I was sitting with the guy, he was saying to me, you know, you seem really young. You're so young to do this. Normally people at your age don't do this, and think about, because they think, oh, I have so much longer to live and I'm going to live for so much longer, like another 40 years or another 50 years. And I said, no, I really want to do this because, I don't want to take anything for granted. I don't want to take another day for granted. And I don't want my family burdened with responsibility of not knowing what I would have wanted or what I would have preferred. So this is also, it allows you to put your voice into it, your truth into it, and what really matters to you. And it was one of the best decisions I made. It's just so cool to know that that's done, right? So, and the updating is happening also because I've changed my mind a couple of times how I want it done. And so then I just updated, like you said. But I also wanted to talk about trust, a trust versus a will. So what, you know, what the difference is, and is trust the magic bullet?
I wish it was, but it's not. It's the magic bullet. But so let me tell you what they are and the difference. So will, most people are familiar at least with the concept of a will. What a will does is it expresses what your wishes are after your passing regarding your assets, your loved ones, just essentially wrapping up your affairs. It's almost as if you had foreknowledge that you were going to pass away. And so you said, well, before I do that, let me wrap up and put my things in order. So that's what a will does. It allows the person you designate to kind of step into your shoes and to take care of those things on your behalf. A trust, on the other hand, is a legal tool that can be used to hold property for the benefit of another person. And so it's a document or agreement that's created, and it will be held by what's called a trustee. So that's the person who runs it. And it's for the benefit of a beneficiary, an individual. Trustee or beneficiary can be the same person sometimes, but it's a little more complicated. But here's the thing. A trust is a little different because it can work while you're alive and while you pass away. So in that way, it's very convenient. It can circumvent or avoid the probate process. And it allows you to have control for a longer period of time. In fact, sometimes within a will, we'll put what are called testamentary trusts to control assets for young children or other relatives, maybe with special needs or simply who might not be responsible with those assets, even after that person's passed away. But here's why it's not a magic bullet. It doesn't work for everybody, and that it may not be well suited to that individual. So a trust really turns on a couple of major questions. One, do you have property in a lot of different jurisdictions? Because if it's real property, by real property, I mean real estate, every jurisdiction where that real estate sits needs to be probated individually. And that can be very time consuming and difficult. That's not necessarily such a big deal on the West Coast because the states are so big. A lot of times people's property is within the same place. But here on the East Coast, for example, Maryland, Virginia, and DC intersect. And so where I live, it's not uncommon to have people who have property in two or three of those different jurisdictions. And so if something happens and they pass away, then the person who's handling their affairs would have to go to each one of those. That's very difficult. And so a trust does avoid that. The other thing is control. If you're concerned about who manages things and how best to handle it, trust is very helpful for that. But if you don't feel worried about that, if you're saying, you know, I'm just going to leave it to my kids and they're going to be fine. They're adults. They're very responsible. They'll manage it well. And there's no real point in necessarily putting it in a trust in those instances, especially since a lot of times it's a little more cost to put it in place for a trust. And you have to maintain it properly. If you don't put the asset into the trust, so let's suppose you create a trust and then a year later, 2 years later, you buy a house and you forget to put it in the trust, then the trust doesn't affect it anyway. And so you have to what's called properly fund. So it's not a magic bullet, but it is a very effective tool.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite interesting to learn the difference between a trust and a will. And there, again, decisions to be made, what's beneficiary for you and that it's not for everybody. So it's just amazing the information that you shared with us here today, Chris. I want to be able to tell people, first of all, I want to know, where do you live?
So I live in Rockville, Maryland. That's where my firm is. That's where my home is. Okay. Just about 15, 20 minutes outside of the District of Columbia.
And so can people contact you via over the phone and work with you long distance? Is that something that works for you?
Mm. So it depends on what they're asking me to do. Mm-hmm. I'm licensed in Maryland. I have a relationship with an attorney who's licensed in D.C. and a relationship with an attorney who's licensed in Virginia. So we work in the DMV, as we call it. However, if someone is a little further away, what I can do is connect. I can speak to them about certain things. I can't create legal documents for them, do those things, but I can put them in contact with attorneys in their area who can do that, because I do have a network of attorneys that I contact and interact with in various jurisdictions for that purpose.
Oh, and that's perfect, Chris. Let's give people the phone number for you know, first of all, how to get in contact with you, your email, your website, how to get in contact with you, and that in the subject line, you know, they can put that they heard this on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, because this is a place where when people listen to you today, they're going to already feel the level of trust that you emit. That's how I feel. I just feel really like, yep, you're the guy I would hire. So we want all the people in the Maryland area to contact you. But if people want someone to be introduced to someone that you trust and that you recommend, then you are the right person. So give us that information, Chris.
So I'll say first, a simple way to simply know what's going on and to contact me as well is even through Facebook. If they like the C.J. Martin Law Group, that's the name of our law firm, we have a page there. They'll get updates on what's going on, where we're at in the community. From time to time, we travel. They can reach out and send me a direct message through that, and I'll receive that and respond to that. My email address is cmartin@cjmartinlaw.com. The website is cjmartinlaw.com. And my phone number is 240-670-5522. Again, that's 240-670-5522. But I would encourage folks, if they wanted to at least like the Facebook page, if they're in the area, they'll know about the presentations that are going on and free opportunities for information, no matter where they're located. And if they have a question, and especially if they're trying to find contact with someone that's outside the community or outside this jurisdiction, sending that to me makes it easy for me to kind of put them in contact with them.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much for offering that, Chris. It's wonderful. We're going to take the last break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back with Chris Martin.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. Life is full of challenges and surprises. Your guidance is to move with the current, for it is in resisting the flow that creates problems. Ask your angels to help you open up your mind and heart to new ideas and fresh options. When you accept the possibility that there are other ways, previously unseen doorways will be open to you, and you will move easily through change. There is a solution to every problem, so look at things with eyes of love and expectation. Then your life force will flow freely through you. You will feel healthy and alive, and will be able to access the necessary resources and wisdom within yourself to help you through change. I'd love to take this journey with you. Visit my website, enlightened-path.com, so we can explore all that is possible.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Beyond Symptom Management into True Wellness with Jessica Dooley on Purely You Radio. Tune in every third Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific as Jessica guides you to find and embrace your purest self. Not the self that is shown on social media, not the self that is created in your family's eyes, but your purest version of you. Purely You Radio supports true wellness, not just symptom management. For more information about working with Jessica Dooley, visit PurelyYouHealing.com.
Welcome back to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with Chris Martin, and we're talking about building legacy. And the best time to start is now. Don't wait. That's the best time to start. So, Chris, how do we find the right agent?
You know, that is a great question. Sometimes that's the most important question, really, as how do we make sure that someone's going to handle this appropriately? I think one of the things that you need to do is look at, what exactly am I asking this agent to do? One thing that you could not do is consider the fact that because they're a relative or they're close to you in some way, that means that they're automatically going to be good at what you're asking them to do. You need to have a real consideration as to what they need to do. So, for example, I have a lot of clients who will say, we'd like our children to be our agents, but they'll have different children handle the finances. Because they'll look and say, these folks are really good with money. And so we'll have them handle finance versus who handles medical decisions. Two different mindsets there. And so really what you need to ask, one, is what is it that you're asking them to do? Two, you need to determine, are they good at following directions and instructions if necessary, as needed? Because the documents will lay out instructions for them and the process will be laid out for them. And you need to know that they can be patient and do that. I think another important question is, do they have the wisdom to seek assistance from a professional if the need should arise? And so there may come a time, so for example, if they're acting as the, what we call a personal representative in Maryland, what's known as an executor in other jurisdictions, if they're in over their head, can they say, you know what, let me have an attorney or another professional, an accountant come in and assist with this? If you feel that they're comfortable and they'll do that, then that's the right person to put together. I think it's also important to make sure. So, for example, sometimes folks will try to put two children together and have them work as kind of personal representative or executor. Not necessarily a good idea if there are disagreements. Here's the thing. If they get along really well, then it doesn't matter which one you put first. So you put the best person for the job and the second best, and they'll be fine. If they don't get along really well, then that's even more important for you to put the person who's best suited first and the person after them. So either way, you should pick an individual and make a decision. I think in any case, whoever you pick, you should have a discussion with them and talk about what you've asked them to do and make sure that they're comfortable with that. No one wants to be surprised and say, oh, by the way, you're now the guardian of my children. Congratulations. That is not how it should go. They should know ahead of time. And they should know what your wish is, and there should be some discussion on it. Doesn't have to be in depth, but they have to at least be aware.
Yeah. Does that happen? Does that happen where, people are not aware that all of a sudden, like a surprise?
Yes. Yes, it does.
You have a story?
Children. Yes, I do. The first trust case I had to deal with, actually, was a client came to a firm that I was working for. And her father created a power of attorney years ago, never created a will. He had had a stroke, and he had a large consulting business. So she came to us. She said, I didn't even know that he had appointed me. My father's a very private man until I got the document after he'd had a stroke. And so now I know I'm his agent. What do I do? She wanted to create a will for him, but it was too late because of his stroke. I met with him for over an hour, and it was clear that he could communicate to me, but I had to rely too heavily on his children, of which he had several, to communicate. He had, over the course of his life, he had 10 children. And he had two different marriages, 10 children. And four of them were here running the business, and six of them lived out west. And so it was a minefield in that respect. But because she didn't know ahead of time, she was kind of caught off guard, and we had to play a little catch up for him. So yeah, that happens, unfortunately.
That does. I mean, I bet you have all kinds of stories.
I do. I mean, your goal in life should never be an estate planner story, right? Because no one likes when it goes well.
Yeah.
There are a few.
Yeah. So what an incredible hour, Chris, of information that you shared with us today on how building our legacy is empowering and benefits us, and how important it is to act now and make that phone call and not let fear, any of the fears of dying or whatever the fears are that, you know, you don't have enough or whatever it is, to stop you from picking up that phone and making that phone call. So earlier you shared with us the private Facebook page that people can follow you and actually get more information and also contact you if they're not in Maryland and ask you for support and maybe finding a connection. And give us that information again, and then you've got 1 minute to give us your final words before we're signing off today.
Absolutely. So it's the CJ Martin Law Group. When you bring it up, it'll be a little black icon that says CJ Martin Law Group in it, in a white box. It's fairly easy to spot there. And so again, you can communicate with me and the rest of the firm through that medium very quickly. We're very responsive. I would just say this. The reality is, I firmly believe that someone's identity builds stability in their lives. So knowing where you come from, who you are, and where you want to go. Legacy planning, estate planning, that's what we do. We help people to know where they want to go. And that is shaped by who they are and where they come from. And if you want your descendants or your community to understand where it's going to go, or where they're going to go, the way you do that is by putting things in place to help secure the legacy that you've built for them. I have never had a client once not say to me at the end of the process, gosh, I'm so glad I did this. I feel relief. I feel a peace of mind that if something happens, now my things are in place that dictate my wishes. You spoke to that when you talked about putting your cremation documents in order and in effect. Even though they've changed several times, you talked about, gosh, I feel like it was the best thing I ever did. It was so good to get that done. And that's exactly what, that's a great moment for me when people feel that peace of mind. And that's what ideally we like to have everybody feel. And so we're trying to do two things just in the last few seconds. First is to grant peace of mind to our clients. And second is to change the view in the community about wealth and estate planning.
We got to go. Thanks so much for helping people build legacy. See you next time.
Thanks so much for being part of Creating Wealth for All Women. Every Friday, you benefit from the experience of women who share their financial wisdom. This movement is not about accumulating wealth. It's about being paid doing what we love, being able to invest in the things women are passionate about. Our new collective story is women are powerful with money. Becoming financially literate is the key to your empowerment and financial freedom. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.